Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I was watching the coverage of the president and the, I don't even know if we're calling it a transcript or a memorandum or a memory, what have you, but I kept flipping back and forth between Fox and MSNBC. And Dave Cohen earlier was talking about this being the tonight is going to be the longest running TV show ever, the drama, excitement, whatever, Law and Order SVU. And as I was watching those two, I'm thinking it's kind of like a TV program where MSNBC says, well, this is how I remember it. And then you go to Fox and they say, no, this is how I remember it. And the camera gets all blurry and they go, anyway. There is a big difference. Lara Brown, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University, is there not?
Yes, I mean, what we have right now in our media environment is a tremendous amount of sort of self-reinforcing feedback loops, whereby people listen to news that fits with their worldview, mm-hmm. and then they recycle that to their friends and family on social media platforms, and there continues to be this, but our side says this, this is what's really going on, this is really the scandal. That being said, there is real news out there, and there is real reporting. I will just tell you that the thing that I do all the time is I follow a website that is called Memorandum, and it's M-E-M-E and then O-R-A-N-D-U-M. And what it is it's actually just an algorithm, and it is a sort of digest of all the stories that are making sort of top news on the internet at that moment. So why I love it is that it shows me instantly how every single news source is getting any traction is covering the story, whatever the story mm-hmm. is.
Their presentation of it.
That's right. So I can basically look at, you know, one story and see the 10 different,
spins.
Websites and news sources that are covering it.
I don't even know what to call yesterday. I do have a word for yesterday, but I'm not going to use it. In terms of what was released, people are saying it's not a transcript. They are notes. It is a memorandum of what happened during a call. What exactly did we read?
Okay, so basically there are note takers for presidential phone calls, and this is one of those situations where they summarize what was said and what were the important salient points, and those become part of the records in the National Archive around our presidency. So different presidential libraries have all of these kinds of records, and what we saw yesterday was essentially an 11-12 minutes of a summary of what we know was a 30-minute call. So that's what we saw, that's what we read. And today, we're likely to, it's quite possible that we'll end up seeing the full whistleblower's complaint. I mean, I do think it's important here to realize that, the Senate voted unanimously in favor of releasing that transcript, and the House yesterday voted 421-0 unanimously in favor of releasing the complaint. So I imagine we are going to see more information on this, not less. And I think it's also important to realize that Congress is urging the White House for full transparency, and that is not a partisan effort. That is absolutely a unanimous decision on the part of Congress to say to the White House and to the Department of Justice and to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to turn everything over.
We can pick this up, Larry, when we come back, and I hope that all of the members of Congress and all of the members of the Senate are doing this, or the House, I should say, they're doing this because they want the truth to come out. But I got to believe in the political context, both sides think they can gain something from this, and we'll pick it up here. When we return, Lara Brown, our guest, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. If you have any questions or comments about the whole thing with Ukraine and impeachment and whistleblower, and I think today, who's going to be testifying, Lara, in front of Congress?
Today, I believe it is the Inspector General.
Inspector General, right. All right, we'll pick it up here. We come back right now. Time for traffic on WWL. 6:25 now, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Pleased to have Lara Brown as our guest, as we always are, Director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Joe McGuire is going to testify today. And yesterday evening, Lara, it was like and I'm not trying to trivialize a mass shooting, but the coverage was almost like that, where there was so much wild speculation and so quick to get something on the air, nobody really knew what was going on. I had to turn it off because, you know what I'm saying, sometimes it just makes your head spin, where you just had enough and all you can take.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, the last 48 hours in Washington, D.C. have been unbelievable in terms of the sort of amount of news that has come to light. And we should just say, because I incorrectly did, because I haven't had enough coffee.
Well,
yet
no,
this
I just
morning,
asked you. I mean,
it's not the Inspector General. Joseph McGuire is the acting Director of National Intelligence, and he will be testifying at 9 a.m. this morning.
And his
job in this hearing, according to sort of the committee that will oversee it, he'll be sitting before the House Intelligence Committee, is really for the committee to understand what happened in terms of the kind of tick-tock and the timeline of, you know, a whistleblower creating a complaint, that going to the Inspector General, that going to the acting director of the Office of National Intelligence, and then that going over to Justice, and then it making its way to the White House, and the decisions that were made along the way about the whistleblower complaint itself.
I asked for questions from the customers, and I got one. I'm curious as to what else is there to be transparent about. They asked for the call record. They got it. And how do you blow a whistle on a call you weren't there for?
Well, so from what I understand, obviously none of us have read the whistleblower's complaint yet, but from what I understand, the whistleblower's complaint includes more information than just the call, that it is about a pattern of behavior with respect to Ukraine. And, you know, and there are a lot of questions that are also raised by the transcript. I mean, quite frankly, the first question that came to my mind is, what is Rudy Giuliani doing in any of this? He is not an emissary of the State Department. He has not been even given a letter of introduction. Our Secretary of State, you know, Mike Pompeo, has essentially said, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't asked to do this. So there's a lot of questions about what's even in the summary of the phone call, in terms of how did this relate to actual, you know, U.S. business. And if it didn't, then that's a problem. Because let me just say this. I don't think many people realize this. At one point in my life, I was a fundraiser, so I'm very well aware of election law. And election law is very, very clear that it is illegal to solicit anything of value from a foreign government or even a foreign citizen. So it is a very clear boundary within the law. And the reason we have thus far sort of not had much of that discussion is because the Justice Department said that dirt on your political opponent is not a thing of value. Now, I think most people in the campaign world would disagree with that. And so I think that there's a lot more we have to understand before we can actually even just say, oh, yeah, here's our judgment. We're going this way or that way.
Lara, I appreciate your time. I really do. And I hope we can put you on retainer where we can call you when we need you, because this story is going to, we probably can't afford to put you on retainer.
No, I love being on your show for free. Don't worry.
Okay, I would graciously ask you to be available when we need you. Have a great day and thank you as always.
Thanks, Tommy. Take care.
You bet. Bye. Lara Brown, Director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.